Well, good morning. Welcome to Antioch. Hello to those of you who call Antioch home, those of you who are watching us online, and those of you who are visiting with us today. I want to say a special hello to you as well. Glad that you made it safe. As we said at the beginning, the roads are not good out there, but Jesus protected us, so praise God for that. Amen? Amen, amen. I read a story the other day about a young man named Ben. Ben comes from a family that was wrecked by addiction and chemical abuse. And his grandparents, his parents, Ben and his brothers and cousins and aunts and uncles, just this addiction was rampant in their family. And through the grace of Jesus, Ben actually gave his life to Jesus. He put his trust in Jesus. And through that, Ben was able to overcome his addiction. And when Ben overcame his addiction, one of the things that he started doing was he started praying that his family would start overcoming their addiction. And so this led to weeks of prayer and months of prayer and then even years of praying. And one of the things that happened was through those years and years of praying, Ben shared that none of them had actually overcome the addiction. They were still addicted to substances and drugs and alcohol, even though he was fervently praying for them. And so Ben shares that he actually entered into a time of unbelief, where he got to this period in his Christian walk where even though he believed in Jesus and he believed in the power of Jesus and he believed that Jesus can do anything, he had gotten to a point where he didn't believe that Jesus would actually be able to save his family from addiction. And so one of the prayers that Ben ends up praying in the story that I was looking at was, Jesus, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Help me to believe that you can still work in areas that I have not seen you work in yet. Help my unbelief. And as the story ended, Ben's family was still struggling with alcohol and chemical dependency, but Ben was praying and he was saying, you know, I'm just going to continue to believe. I'm not going to stay in unbelief, even though I haven't seen Jesus work it out just yet. I'm not going to stay in unbelief. I'm going to pray in belief. Amen. Here's the main point of today's message, church. Even Christians struggle with unbelief. Even Christians struggle with unbelief. Even Christians struggle with times where when we don't see something happening, even when we've been praying, we struggle with unbelief. But that's okay. It's okay, because as we're gonna see, the important thing for us to do is to recognize when we're operating in unbelief. So we got to recognize when we're operating in unbelief and then ask Jesus to help us overcome our unbelief. So I've titled today's message, Help Me Overcome, Help My Unbelief, Help My Unbelief. So with that, if you would stand with me as you're able, as we read, we're still in Mark. We're going to be in Mark chapter 9. We're going to be looking at verses 14 through 29 today. And this is what it says. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. What are you arguing with them about? He asked. A man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. Verse 19. You unbelieving generation, Jesus replied. How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for one who believes." Here it is. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "This kind can come out only by prayer." This is the word of God. You may be seated. For a moment, try to imagine the situation that this father is in. Try to put yourself in this father's situation. Your son is possessed by an evil spirit that has robbed him of his ability to speak. This demon that is inside of your son is so severe and so intense that it completely seizes his body, throws him to the ground, and causes him to foam at the mouth, grind his teeth, and stiffen his body. In fact, this demonic possession inside of your son is so intense that it's not just trying to hurt your son, it's trying to kill your son. More than once, it has thrown your son into a blazing hot fire or water to try to either burn him to death or drown him to death. And what makes all of this so horrible is the fact that you never know when any of this might happen. At any moment, the demon inside your son can rise up and take control of your son's body. Which means, as his parent, you always have to be on your guard. And you always have to be ready, because you never know when this will happen and if this is the time that the demon will succeed in killing your child. And so as a loving parent, you've done all you can do to help your son be freed from this condition, which means you've probably taken him to doctor after doctor after doctor, trying to discover anything that can help him get rid of this demon that's inside of him and that is wrecking his life. But nothing has worked. So at this point, you're probably beyond exhaustion. You're frustrated, and you're losing hope that your son will ever be healed. And then one day you get a glimmer of hope. You see a group of men who you recognize as some of the disciples of Jesus Christ. And you've heard of Jesus, and you've heard of his disciples, and you heard, and maybe you've even seen for yourself, the healings that they've done in other people, and how they've healed the sick, and they've given sight to the blind, and they've made the deaf to hear, and even cast out demons in other people. So when you see this group of men, Your spirit gets excited and you get a glimmer of hope because maybe they can heal your son. Now, you don't see Jesus himself because Jesus is off with three of his other disciples at the top of a mountain experiencing what's called the Transfiguration. So you don't see Jesus, but you know that he must have authorized his disciples to heal on his behalf because that's what they've been going around doing. So you muster up all the courage you can and the little bit of strength that you have remaining, even though you're exhausted, you muster up the strength and the courage that you have and you bring your son to the disciples and you beg them, you ask them, you plead with them to heal your son. And we don't know why, but for some reason, the disciples cannot drive this demon out of your son. This is heartbreaking. Because more than likely, you've been hearing what the disciples have been doing in other people. Back in chapter 6, it says, referring to the disciples, they drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. So they've done this in the past. They've driven out demons from other people in the past. They've healed people in the past. But for some reason, when they get to your son, it's almost like they run out of power. It's almost like they forget how to heal. So you're left wondering, as the parent, what is it about my son that makes you not able to heal him? Is the demon inside of him any different than the demons that were in other people? Why can't you heal my son? And so at this point, your faith is faltering, and any belief that you held on to that your son will ever get better is starting to disappear. You're starting to lose hope, and what makes this even worse now is everyone around you that's looking at what's going on has an opinion about your situation and why they think your son couldn't be healed. And so people start shouting their opinions and things begin to escalate and arguments start to happen and everything is coming into a full-blown argument. And as the crowd starts to form, people are hearing this and they're seeing what's going on and people are starting to run. And then at that exact moment, as everyone is shouting and screaming and as your son is still not healed, Jesus himself shows up. And when Jesus shows up, everything changes. Everyone knows about Jesus. Everyone recognizes Jesus. In fact, even the demon inside your son recognizes Jesus. And when he recognizes Jesus, he launches yet another full-blown attack against your son. And he throws him to the ground, causing him to roll around, gnashing his teeth and foaming at the mouth. And so in desperation, you tell Jesus that you tried to get the disciples to heal him, but they couldn't do so. And so in a last-ditch effort, you cry out to Jesus, but if you can do anything, please heal my son. And when you say these words, when you say, if you can do anything, you don't say it with an air of confidence in Jesus' ability to heal. Instead, you say it with uncertainty and even doubt in your voice. You say it knowing that you've already tried everything you can and you're unsure if Jesus is even willing to help. So there's this level of unconfidence in your voice that you say it with. Jesus looks at you and says, everything is possible for one who believes. Meaning, look, not that Jesus will do everything, but that he can do anything. Not that Jesus will do everything, but he can do anything. So Jesus says to you, listen, I can do this. Anything is possible for one who believes. And then we get to the heart of the issue today. And everything in our passage today hinges on what the Father says next. You respond back to Jesus, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. When you say these words, it sounds weird. It sounds strange. How can you say you believe on one hand and then on the other hand admit that you have unbelief? Either you believe or you don't. But when you say this, you're not saying you don't believe in Jesus. You still believe in Jesus. What you're admitting is this. Jesus, I believe in you. But right now I'm slipping into doubt. I know you're real. But at this moment, Jesus, fear and doubt and unbelief are beginning to creep into my mind. Jesus, right now I'm struggling with this situation. And even though I believe in you, I don't know if you'll work in this situation. Church, this is the situation this father finds himself in. He believes in Jesus, but right now he's drifting into negative thinking, into unbelieving thinking. So what this is a cry for help from a parent who has not seen anything happen. Listen, if we're honest, we can all admit that what this father is going through right now is something that we have all felt. We've all been there before. It's when we admit that our minds have drifted away from the providence of God and the fact that he can take care of us and that he sees us and that nothing is too hard for him, even if we haven't seen progress yet, and we begin to grow discouraged. Why? Because even though we believe in Jesus, the situation hasn't changed. Our circumstances haven't changed. A problem still remains. We're still going through the storm. And just like the Father, we feel like we've tried everything. We've been praying about this. We've been staying in the Word. We've been holding out hope. We've even asked others to come around and pray for us. But it seems like nothing has worked. It's when we used to be standing strong and confident in the Lord, and you know, my spirit was immovable and shakable, and I knew that I could always trust and depend on Jesus. But over time, when things don't change and we keep trying to keep hopeful and stay hopeful and we keep praying, and over time nothing seems to change, and we grow discouraged and we drift into unbelief that God will ever change or move in a situation. And remember, this can happen even with us believing in Jesus, even with us coming to church every Sunday and going to our community group and going to our DNA group. At no point do we ever question our Christianity. But because of what we're facing or because of what we're going through, and because it seems like nothing has happened, our minds are not as focused on God as they should be. They're focused on the fact that this hasn't changed or hasn't gotten better by now. That's what we're talking about today. By now. That's the phrase to keep in mind. By now. How do we stay strong and keep believing even when things haven't gotten better by now? I was hoping that by now my marriage would be stronger. I was hoping that by now my child would still not be struggling with this. I was hoping that by now I would be further along in life than I am. I was hoping that by now my life would look different. I was hoping that by now my finances would have turned around. I was hoping that by now this health situation wouldn't have been here. I've been praying. I know I believe in you, Jesus, but I was hoping that by now something would have changed. The father in this story was hoping that by now his son would be healed, but he wasn't healed. I think we all sometimes need some by now faith. Faith that holds strong when things haven't changed by now. What have you been hoping and praying about, but it hasn't changed by now? It hasn't changed by now. Even though we believe, we all, hear me clearly, all of us in here, we can wrestle with a certain level of unbelief. We're all susceptible to a certain level of drifting in our trust and our faith and our belief when things aren't working out the way we hope for or when things seem to not be changing. By now. That's what we need. By now, faith. So how does this look? How does it look? I think there are three big areas of our lives where this can often happen, where we can begin to drift and to lose belief and lose hope because things haven't been changing. Number one is our relationship with others. I think it can become very, very easy to begin to lose hope in other people. Lose hope that they will change their behavior or stop doing something or start doing something, especially if you've been praying for them and maybe even having difficult conversations with them and you're loving them and you're caring for them, and over time things are not changing. And then what can begin to happen is unforgiveness or bitterness can begin to creep in. And when this happens, we can begin to lose hope that God can transform them and change their lives. All of us in here, we can begin to drift into unbelief in our relationships with someone else. But what do we do when that happens? We ask God, just like the father in the story, we ask God, help my unbelief. And we don't give up on the transformative power of Jesus in the life of someone else. So maybe there's someone in your life that this can apply to. Maybe it's a spouse who hasn't changed their behavior, or a child who's drifting away, or a good friend who's turned away, or a family member who's gotten some bad habit, and maybe over time you started praying for them, you had belief that Jesus could change their life, but you stopped praying, and you've lost hope. And maybe even you've put them in the category of, they're going to always be like this. We don't do that. We stay strong and we keep praying and we ask God to help our unbelief. And I want to be clear, this isn't the daily inconveniences of life. This isn't like you hoping that one day they'll stop throwing their socks on the floor or stop forgetting to put the lid down or stop chewing so loud. This isn't those things. What we're talking about are the things that really affect a person's life. And you've been praying for them. And you keep praying for them. You've been praying for them for years. And you're holding out hope that he or she will change. But nothing seems to be working. I keep praying that this person will overcome an addiction. I keep praying that this person will overcome their anger. I keep praying that this person will stop a destructive habit. I keep praying that this person will stop hanging around the wrong crowd, or I keep praying that this person will get out of a toxic relationship. I keep praying that this person will stop it. And listen, it doesn't even have to be something because of their own sinful choices. Maybe it's just something that's just happened to them because of life. Maybe you keep praying that their cancer will go away, that their job situation will turn around, that their health situation will turn around. Listen, when we don't see things change in other people, I think it can be easy to drift into unbelief. But here's what we do, church. We say, Jesus, help my unbelief. Remind me that you can still change a person's life. We don't stop praying. That's why at the end of our passage today, when the disciples ask, why couldn't we drive out the demon? Jesus tells them this kind can only come out by prayer, because apparently along the way they had stopped praying and they started trying to operate in their own strength, in their own faith. Jesus had to remind them, listen, there are people who deal with some really dark things, some really deep things in their lives. And we have to remember that by ourselves, we cannot change a person. But we can pray for them. And we plead for them. And we get on our knees for them. That's what we did this weekend. A group of us men, we prayed and we prayed. And we prayed. Some things can only come out by prayer. So who is it in your life that more than any time right now needs you to pray for them? Don't drift in your unbelief just because their life hasn't changed. We stand strong and we kneel and we pray for them. So we can easily drift in our relationship with others. We can also drift into unbelief with our relationship with ourselves. Listen, it can be really easy to grow discouraged with ourselves and to drift into unbelief when we think about, why do I keep wrestling with this? Why is this still an issue in my life? Will I ever kick this habit? Will I ever overcome this struggle? Will I ever stop with this negative thinking? Will I ever overcome anxiety? Will I ever overcome depression? Will I ever lose weight and get into shape? Will I ever stop overeating? Will I ever stop comparing myself to other people? Will I ever become more assertive? Will I ever stop letting other people run all over me? Why am I still dealing with these things that I've been praying about and pouring my heart out about to Jesus? And it seems like it's happening over and over and over again. Will I ever do this? By now, I was hoping that this would not have been an issue. And Jesus, I'm starting to drift into unbelief. Or maybe you just lost joy. And you've lost passion. passion. And you can say, Jesus, for a long time, I haven't had any joy in life. I haven't had any passion in life. I haven't felt a reason to get out of bed and to do things, to go to work, to go to church, or even to smile. Jesus, this has been an issue in my life for so long. And I've been praying. I've been coming to church. I've been going to my community group. I've been doing everything. I've been staying in your word. But by now, I was hoping this would no longer be an issue. But it still is an issue. And Jesus, I can admit that I'm drifting into unbelief. Listen, maybe there is some area of your life that you've put yourself in a box. And you've started to accept that this is who you are and this is who you will be for the rest of your life. And you used to pray for yourself and you used to hold out hope and you used to really have faith that God can help you and can transform you and can deliver you. But somewhere along the way, things haven't worked out in your life and you find yourself wrestling because of that and you've drifted into unbelief. We can say, Jesus, I believe. Help my unbelief. We still believe in Jesus. We are Christians. From the moment you put your trust in Jesus, you're a Christian. But then there's areas where we are simply struggling. Jesus, help me. I want to be who you have called me to be. I want to overcome things. I don't want this issue to be an issue in my life for the rest of my life. But right now it feels like it. Jesus, help me to always stand true to the fact that I know you will work things out. Like we sang this morning, like Josh led us. He said, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Maybe you've just had a broken heart for a long time. And you want Jesus to heal you. Jesus, help my unbelief. Or maybe unforgiveness has just been like a wet blanket that's been in your life for years. And you can look back and say, this happened and I have been holding on to unforgiveness for years. Not just towards other people, but unforgiveness towards yourself. Maybe you made some mistakes in the past and you did something in the past that you did not need to do and you have been not forgiving yourself. And because of that, you've been just in this season of unbelief. I don't know if Jesus is forgiving me. I don't know if Jesus has forgiven me. And you've drifted into unbelief. And if you will ever recover from that and come out of that and step into the freedom that Jesus has for us, because you've been in the season and in the realm of unbelief because of unforgiveness. Today, you can be free from that and you can say, help my unbelief. So we see that we can easily drift in our unbelief with others. We can easily drift in our relationship with ourselves. But we can easily drift in our relationship with God. Here's what we know. Here's what we know. God is good. God provides for us. And God's timing is perfect. But sometimes when God doesn't move the way we want him to, when he doesn't operate the way we want him to, we begin to doubt his goodness and we begin to operate in a spirit of unbelief directed towards him. And as spiritually strong as we would like to think we are, we've been in the church our entire lives. We were raised in a Christian household. We read through the Bible every year. We faithfully come to church every Sunday. I think we all have to remember that, listen, all of us can begin to question if God sees us. we can begin to wonder, God, do you even still care? And I get it. This is natural because we are all human. But it's also dangerous to stay there. Because this is where when you hang out in the land of unbelief too long, when you hang out there and just kind of set up camp there, this is where people can begin to turn their back on God or shake a fist at God because they grow discouraged and they grow discouraged. And then they feel like God has forgotten about them. And then that turns into this bitterness towards God. And then they become angry at God. So what do we do when we find ourselves in this position? First, we do just like the man in our passage did. We confess our unbelief. Confess our unbelief. We admit to Jesus, listen, I have some area of my life that I've been operating in unbelief. And as much as I want to say that I give my worries and my problems over to Jesus, if I were to really sit down and think about my thoughts and my actions lately, I would have to confess that I've been operating in unbelief in this area. But then, we don't stay there. We ask Jesus, help us overcome our unbelief, to grow our faith and to not lose hope in an area where we are still waiting on God to move. Because the truth is, it can be easy to trust God in the areas where we clearly see God working. I clearly see God working in my finances, so I'm going to trust God with my finances. I clearly see God working on my job, so I'm going to trust God with my job. I clearly see God working with my marriage, so I'm going to trust God with my marriage. Those things are going good, but what about the areas where you don't see God moving necessarily? The Bible tells us faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things what? Not seen. That's what we're talking about today. Trusting God with what we have not yet seen. Just because you haven't seen it doesn't mean it's never going to happen. Just because you haven't seen your prayers get answered yet doesn't mean that God doesn't hear your prayers. The father in this passage today hadn't seen his son be healed just yet. And because of that, he was losing hope. And I want to be clear. I want to be clear here. This isn't like name it and proclaim it prosperity gospel. So just because we want something in life doesn't mean Jesus is going to automatically give it to us. I want to be clear that just because you want something in life does not mean Jesus is automatically going to give it to us. Jesus is not a vending machine where we just like put a dollar in, we get something out. Put a dollar in, you get something. We cannot treat Jesus like that. And that's where a lot of times people's misunderstanding of Jesus happens. They think, okay, I can just get whatever I want from Jesus whenever I want, however I want. This is not what we're talking about today. What we're talking about today, church, is persistent faith that Jesus is working and that Jesus sees you and that Jesus cares for you even when you can't feel it. So we don't want to hang out in the land of unbelief. We don't want to get mad and turn our back on God and shake a fist at God. We say, listen, Jesus, I admit there's some area that I've been operating in unbelief, but I want to drift towards you. In fact, not drift towards you. I want to intentionally walk back towards you, Jesus. And then, and this can be the hard part. We trust the divine timing of Jesus. And this is where the rubber really meets the road in our Christian faith. I want you to notice, in Jesus' perfect timing, he healed the father's son. Amen. He healed his son. He tells the demon to come out of him and to never enter him again. And what happens? The demon comes out of him and never enters him again. We don't know why Jesus waited to heal the boy. We don't know why he didn't heal him months or even years prior to this. But here's what we do know. When Jesus saw fit, the boy was healed. But here's what else happened. Not only was the boy healed, the father's faith was strengthened. By him having to go through this season of seeing his son suffer and trying everything he could, maybe taking him to doctors and other people and trying different things, and he did this, and nothing seemed to work, and having to wait on Jesus, he's gone through a journey of faith, a faith journey of going from having unbelief to seeing Jesus work. Jesus has completely transformed and grown his faith. And I think about this. This may be the reason why sometimes Jesus doesn't do things immediately in our lives, or why he allows things to sort of just hang around, or why he doesn't immediately deliver us from things. Because if we always got everything we wanted right when we wanted it, there would be no reason for faith. But by sending us through seasons where we don't always see things working out immediately, where we don't see things lining up immediately, where we have to wait and stay persistent and stay persistent, where we sometimes wonder, God, do you still see me? Listen, what is he doing? He's growing us up in our faith. He's growing us. So if you're in a season where you're wondering and you're waiting, God, what are you doing? I keep trying and I keep waiting and I keep hoping. God is growing our faith. He's developing us through those seasons. God does not waste our experiences, including your experiences of waiting on him. But then I also thought about this. Think about the testimony that this father now has. This father now has an amazing story to tell. He can look back and he can tell his son and even his entire family that he remembers when his son was possessed by a demon and he couldn't talk and it would throw him to the ground and make him gnash his teeth and foam at the mouth and stiffen up his body. And the father can remember, I remember when I would take you all over the place trying different things, and it seemed like all hope was lost. I even took you to Jesus' disciples and they couldn't heal you. Son, there was a time in your life when I can remember when I was operating in unbelief. But what happened? Jesus stepped in. That's the story this father can now tell. And so you think about how we read this story and we draw encouragement from it. And then it encourages us to hold on and keep believing when we face similar situations. And then what? You then have your own story to encourage someone else when they face something similar. So listen, God doesn't waste what we're going through. He's growing our faith and he's encouraging us and he's building up your story. And one day when you're on the other side of this, when you finally do see what Jesus has done in your life, you can then use your story to encourage someone else who's waiting and who's losing hope, who's losing unbelief. You can say, you know, I remember a time in my life when I was also losing hope, when I was operating in unbelief. And I cried out to Jesus and I said, Jesus, help me with my unbelief. So you hang in there and you stay strong. And you don't give up. You keep your hand in Jesus' hand. I went through it and Jesus brought me through it. So now I will encourage you to stay true to Jesus. That's the story you will one day be able to tell. Someone needs you to hang in there and to hold on, because God can bring someone in your life, maybe months, years from now, who needs you right now to hold on. So if life is hard right now and you're in unbelief, move to your belief in Jesus, because you never know who he will bring into your life that needs to hear your story. So hang on. Keep your hand in Jesus' hand. If you're operating in unbelief right now, say, I'm going to move to belief, because yes, Jesus is growing me up, but one day I'm going to run into someone somewhere along the way, and I can then tell that person that I hold on, and I held on, and I didn't give up. And because of that, that can then encourage that person. And then they can then take what you told them, and they can encourage the next person. And then they can encourage the next person. And then they can encourage the next person. You never know how you holding on just one more day can help change someone's life. So we do that. We don't hang out in unbelief. We move to belief, because Jesus is growing us up. So what do we do today? We say, Jesus, help me with my unbelief. Not just because I want to see a situation get better. That's part of it. Yes, that's part of it. But because this is kingdom work. You holding on is not just like, it's not just for what you're, it's part of it, but it's not just for what you're going through. It's the kingdom. The kingdom is moving. The kingdom is advancing. And part of that is you holding on. So that's what we do today. So here's what I want to do as we close. I want to invite Josh up to strum for us for a while. I love that word, to strum. For us, I want us to just take 2 minutes, and I want you to just ask Jesus to search your heart and to say, Jesus, help me with my unbelief in blank. You can fill in that blank however you want. Similar to what we did earlier today, except this time, instead of saying it out loud, confess it to Jesus in your heart. And, you know, maybe you are truly standing strong on with Jesus in every area of your life. But for many of us, we can admit there is at least one area of my life where I'm like, ugh, Jesus, I've got some unbelief in this area. I haven't been trusting you as much as I should with this. So let's just take 2 minutes to do that. And then I'll come back and I'll pray for us. Father, for many of us in here, we can admit, we can confess, if we're honest with you, Jesus, that we've had some unbelief in our lives. And we know you're real, Jesus. We know the power of the cross. We know the power of what you can do. We've seen you work in other areas of our lives. We've seen you get us through things before. Jesus, we never at any point question our Christianity. But we have to admit right now that it's hard to keep believing. Because it seems like we've been praying and hoping and praying and hoping, but nothing's changing. Maybe we can say that for the life of a family member or a friend or a spouse or a child or a coworker or someone else. We've been praying for this person. We've been hoping for this person for years and years and years. And nothing's happened in their life. It seems like it. And so we've drifted into unbelief, Jesus. Help us with our unbelief with others. We can say that for ourselves, Jesus. Maybe we can recognize, I've been dealing with something, wrestling with something, battling with something over and over again. And now that we're in a new year, this still seems like it's an issue. Jesus, I want to be done with this. Help me with my unbelief. Maybe we've just been questioning your goodness lately, Jesus. Whether you see us, whether you care for us. Help us with our unbelief. Maybe this is even true in the life of our church. Where we fall into some areas of unbelief and we may not look out and see what we want or see different things, and we fall into some unbelief for Antioch. Help us, Jesus, to operate, to be a church that stands on belief. Reveal these things to us, Jesus. And then we don't drift back to you, Jesus. We take an intentional step back to you. We walk back to you. We run back into your loving arms. That's what we do today, Jesus. We run back into your loving arms. So just like the Father in today's passage, we declare and we cry out, I believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. We pray these things in your name, Jesus.